Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Trouble with the Snap Podcast. I'm your host, Jay File, with my co-owner, co-creator, co-host, Tyler Hayward. And I'm going to have trouble keeping my emotions in check today, so bear with me. Not very happy. Not in a good mood. I'm going to try to do my best to get through this show. Bear with me, everyone. I've got a whole lot to say about the destruction that was the beatdown. I don't know. There's a lot of things I could say. 56-27, Ohio State dominates Michigan again. Tyler and I had a lot to say before the breakdown of this game. We thought there was a lot of things that Michigan had to do to have a chance. They did not do those things very well, but they also did some things really well, and we'll talk about that as well. Tyler, are you with me? First thoughts, man. I mean, you know what it is, you know. It is what it is. I mean, I don't think we should be surprised, but at the same time, it's just, it's becoming maddening. It's becoming ridiculous, to be quite honest.
I mean, that's one of the things. You and I both had closer than, obviously, the result goes in our projections. I think a lot of that had to do with the fact we weren't 100% sure of Justin Fields' health. He obviously looked okay yesterday.
Yeah, he played pretty well.
So we were kind of up in the air about that, but I think even if you were healthy, we didn't exactly have the offensive performance that the Buckeyes put on. And I think that's one of the more disappointing things, is that's happened 2 years in a row. And let's face it, as far as recruiting goes and that type of thing goes, the talent gap between the two schools has closed in the course of a year. And Ohio State went out there and did the exact same thing that they did to Michigan last year. Obviously, a lot more of it on the ground this season. J.K. Dobbins, 211 yards, 4 touchdowns. It really makes you realize why Justin Fields' name hasn't been brought up in the Heisman conversation, because of the way Dobbins has played this year, having two weapons that just, you know, split the bludgeoning your teams, the way that those two have done it, you know, how Justin Fields ripped apart Michigan State, but then how Dobbins ripped apart Michigan, like, having those two guys just alternate, you know, who the killer is, but it makes it really hard for either one to be mentioned in the Heisman conversation. That's why you see Chase Young's name up there. But look, yeah, we did not expect the game to go that way. I think it was a little closer than the score indicated, than what the final score indicated. I think Michigan definitely gave Ohio State defense some issues, but this is the second year in a row, and like we said, even though Devin Bush is gone and that's a huge loss, losing Winovich and Gary, we feel like they've been replaced a little bit. Obviously, there's some things Winovich did that, you know, you're not exactly going to get anywhere else. But, you know, we thought Gary was replaced, and, you know, Quiddy Pace had a great year. Uche's had a pretty solid year. He's really turned it around. And I think that I did not expect this, and you really have to wonder, you know, what's Michigan got to do to close the talent, not the talent gap, but close the gap with Ohio State, because the talent gap has been closed in most respects.
Well, I'm just going to put it out there. I mean, I know this isn't going to go over very well, but I think the only way Michigan has a shot is if we find out something that happened in this program, whether it's a recruiting violation or it's they actually get a little more strict on things when players accept money, like Chase Young did a few weeks ago. It's just what it is. I mean, let's just be honest. When you get that good of players, and, you know, we've seen this in sports many a times, there's something going on there, and there's no secret. We all know it's been a dirty football program for a long time under Jim Tressel, under Urban Meyer. And, you know, hey, I talked to you and some of my other buddies, and I flat out, what did I say to you guys? I thought Mark D'Antonio deserves a lot of praise to be able to beat this football program in Ohio State. because that's a an absolute mountain to climb. And you're going against primetime athletes. You're going against also really good coaches who know how to coach that talent. And you're going against a lot of different things that a lot of people don't know about. And it's just the truth. I mean, you know, look, you could say it's my opinion all you want. And probably, you know, hey, I guess it is my opinion. But I've never seen a football program have more dominant players look the way Ohio State does. I've never seen a program push players around the way Ohio State does. And they're just ultra talented. I mean, you have great speed, you have great size, and it's just you're not gonna beat them. I mean, it's just it's not even worth it anymore at this point.
And yes, part of it is Urban Meyer brought an SEC type program to Ohio State, and let's be real, compared to the top level of the SEC, you know, there's not a lot the Big Ten can do about it. The only team that can really have a say in that aspect is Ohio State. That being said, you know, the middle of the Big Ten, and I'd say even the bottom of the Big Ten, excluding, you know, Rutgers and Northwestern, you know, I think it's stronger than the middle and the bottom of the SEC. But when you have someone bring in that top-tier SEC-type talent and you bring it up north, yeah, it's going to be a difficult point. Now, in regards to some of the other things that you mentioned, I think that, you know, obviously the Chase Young situation needed to be handled a little bit more aggressively by the NCAA. I feel like, you know, it's the same thing with the Wiseman kid at Memphis, the basketball player. It's the same thing with the umpteenth player Bill Self has been caught with.
Oh, geez.
And so I feel like that needs to be a little bit different. That said, as far as the Chase Young thing goes, he was the only player that's really been hit up for
anything. Let me say this real quick.
The rest, I feel like what the rest of the team has accomplished or whatever, with or without Chase Young, I think has been just absolutely phenomenal this season.
No, this is a very good football team. That wasn't what I mean, let's dive into it. This is what I'm trying to say.
Right, and I was just making it clear. I know you're not one to make excuses, and you'll call out people that suck.
Oh, absolutely
suck.
Not.
I was just making it clear for everybody else.
No, I mean, look, yeah, I was a little more I would give myself a B minus an attitude after that loss yesterday, maybe even C plus, because, you know, there was a lot of things I had to say, I admit. And I think this game has a lot of emotion. And I think, look, you know how it is with the Michigan State rivalry. I mean, it's just very intense for the fans. It's very intense for the players. I mean, the players will say things. The coaches will say things, obviously. It just matters to a lot of people. I think what I'm getting to is, and this will be a good topic to just start now, I'm sitting here watching the game, and I'm just saying, it's just, you just can't, Michigan's not going to beat them. I mean, there's no, you could say talent gap or whatever it is. There's just a gap, period. I mean, there is no way that the players that Michigan had yesterday, unless it was a miracle. I mean, if you want to talk about a miracle, I would say the 1969 game was nothing compared to the 2019 game. And we're not even talking about the same library here. That was a different era. Where there was the talent gap was not there. It was just Ohio State was a darn good football team, and Michigan was too, and there was the level playing field. This is what I'm going to get into right now. The NCAA is going to have a major problem because the talent gaps are going to get real crazy, and this is a money-making machine, the NCAA. And I said it to you guys yesterday, I was just so disappointed that Joe Bocci got the suspension that he got. Because, you know, let's keep it Michigan State related here. I thought that was an absolute slap in the face of the Michigan State football program that somebody can admit to taking money and get suspended only two games, while a guy who made a little bit of a mistake, I guess, I mean, I don't know what Joe Bocci took. I don't know. But I thought that was an absolute slap in the face of the Michigan State program. I thought that was an absolute ridiculous. That proves right here, this is what it proves, Tyler, and everyone knows this. You're not that important. You play for Michigan State. This guy is a Heisman Trophy guy. He plays for the Ohio State. He's more important than you. his mistake doesn't matter. His mistake is just, hey, you can accept money in the NCAA and admit it because you play for Ohio State. And I thought that was an absolute joke. And that doesn't matter. This isn't talking about wins and losses. Ohio State wins without Chase Young. That's not my point. My point is it's going to get real ugly in the NCAA, real ugly.
There's a couple of things that you need to take into consideration here. And this sounds almost backwards to the point where you're defending Michigan State and not kind of playing the devil's advocate, more or less. There's a couple things to consideration here. One, Chase Young's situation was handled by the NCAA.
Exactly.
Two, Joe Bocci's situation was handled by the Big Ten. And
which I think is even worse.
There is an issue in regard to some of the things that Michigan State has done in the past in regards to the Big Ten. Some of the things that Michigan State has said in the past in regards to the Big Ten that has caused a little bit of a rift. Like, I cannot think of, even though Jim Delaney has done these great things as far as the Big Ten Network and, you know, kicking ESPN out of bed with the Big Ten and bringing in Fox Sports, you know, I think there's been some great things that he has done. He started the expansion process. I cannot think of one Michigan State person who would call Jim Delaney even an F commissioner. And you just look at, I'm not going to say, you know, who was right, who was wrong in this situation. We've talked about this enough, but you can go back to last year's pregame incident that involved Devin Bush cussing out and threatening some 50-year-old woman to where, in acting the way that he did, but Michigan State was the one who got fined when they told Michigan that they had to leave the field when, and technically, at that point, you don't need to allow the other team on the field till an hour and a half before kickoff. So they said, yeah, go ahead, come on, but you got to leave when Michigan State, you know, does their little march through. And they sat there, and it was very clear that they were trying to start something because Devin Bush just stood there laughing. And it's something that Michigan State has done every game. They've done it for 13 seasons. Uninterrupted, but Michigan State was the one who got fined $10,000. And so there is an obviously is a little bit of a difference in
I understand
how
that. I mean, we could go back and forth on that stuff, Tyler.
Well,
I know you're disappointed in that.
Yeah, I'm just saying there's a difference in the way things are handled in some aspects in regards to the team that you're dealing with. That was where I was agreeing.
Absolutely.
Ohio State and Michigan are going to get a little bit of a push forward in some aspects because, as Bill Beekman said after last year's incident, it's almost like the Big Ten still views it as a – or it used to be Big 2, Little 8. But the Big 2, Little 12.
Well, I think it's the Big 1 and everyone else at this point. I mean, I think that was my point. I mean, I would argue that it's 1 and everyone else.
Ohio State is 1A, Michigan is 1B.
No, Michigan is not 1 anything. this is Ohio State is 1A, B, C, D, all the way to Z, and everyone else is not even in the alphabet with them. I mean, this is to the point where my concern is this. You know, we've watched college football for a long time. You know, we've been avid Michigan State and Michigan fans. We can go back and remember a lot of games where we said to ourselves, you know, maybe the other team was better, but there was a level playing field there. Case point, I thought 2001, Michigan was outstanding. And Michigan State played their butts off that game. And both teams made mistakes. But Michigan State made all the right plays and the big plays at the end. And anybody can say what they want about stupid clock gate or whatever. It doesn't matter. My point is, now when I watch college sports, I want to be intrigued that there's some competition there, that the kids that are working their tail off in East Lansing have an opportunity to go into Columbus because they're just as talented and they're doing all the same things. I said this to one of our friends last night, and it was a funny conversation. I said, everyone at the Division I level is kind of doing the same thing. An example, when I played basketball at the Division I level, we were doing the same thing that Michigan State was doing. Now, we may be a MAC school, but we're not preparing any differently than those guys are. We're doing the same exact lifts. We're doing the same conditioning programs. We're all on a level playing field as far as how much study hour, table stuff we have to have, how many classes we got to have. that I thought was the point of college sports. You know how I am, Tyler. I used to be that guy, pay the guys. Now I'm turning into this guy as I've gotten older. I'm getting tired of it being uneven. I want it to be fair. I want collegiate sports to be fair. I hate to say it. I think pro sports is more fair than college sports. That's incredible to me. Or I could turn on the tube and say, the Lions will probably blow it. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be, that'll be another topic for another day. But my point is this. You have a feeling in pro sports you may not know who's going to win the championship. I think we all can agree that in college football, you know Clemson's going to make it. You know there's going to be one SEC team that's probably going to make it, either Bama, LSU. You know Ohio State's probably going to make it. And then everybody else is just who cares. And I don't think that's fun. I don't think that's fun for college football. And I think there's a reason why it's happening. I think the recruiting thing needs to be handled differently. I mean, I think this thing has gotten out of control. I truly do. I mean, I think that the top kids, there's no parity, Tyler. None. But my question is, how do you even change that? I mean, is it just too powerful that these programs are too powerful? There's too much money. You know, there's no way you can get over that.
Well, at this point, I mean, you can go back to what we talked about after the Michigan State. You know, Michigan spent twice as much money in recruiting as Michigan State did over the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, it's what teams are willing to invest into certain programs. You know, Michigan State will go balls to the wall for Tom Izzo. You know,
yeah.
And that's something that's been proven a billion times over. Michigan did not go balls to the wall for Beeline. Michigan State does not go balls to the wall for D'Antoni. They obviously support those guys, and those guys have brought in winning cultures. You know, and you say what you want about Michigan State over the last 10 years. This past decade, Michigan State has had the seventh most wins of any Big Ten team over a decade. They tied Ohio State, and if they go on and win their bowl game against whatever anemic team they end up playing, you know, they pass Ohio State as far as seventh goes. Now, obviously, a lot of that has to do with the additional games that have been added over the last, you know, couple decades. But, look, it's, you know, Mark Antonio brought in a winning culture. John Beilein brought in a winning culture, one that appears to be continuing with Juwan Howard. But they're not going to get that backing that Tom Izzo is getting in Michigan State for basketball and that Jim Harbaugh is getting in Michigan for football. And I don't know necessarily the reasons for that. Obviously, it's a little bit screwy with Michigan State's situation because – you know, Michigan or football is the money maker in college sports. You know, ultimately, you look at it, there's really two revenue sports. It's college basketball and it's college football. But when you compare the two, college basketball is a lot closer to wild card polo than it is college football in regards to the money. That
Well, it's fans,
but
too. I mean, you look at the stadiums.
I think it's the gambling, risk your odds, put your money on the safest pick type deal. And right now, look, as long as Tom Izzo's anywhere, you know, he's going to be the safe bet. And so I think maybe that's the reason why. But, look, a lot of it has to do with what you're willing to invest in the program. And Bill Beekman needs to open up his wallet for Mark D'Antonio so he can do some of the things that we've talked about, bring in Harlan Barnett as a recruiter. Reevaluate some of your assistants and bring in talented guys, maybe even a couple proven guys who are maybe just looking to get into coaching or have been very, very, very good at a middle tier Power 5 school. And they want to bump it up a little bit and they want to come to Michigan State where it is a top 25 program all time. So a lot of that has to do with the resources that you're willing to invest. And Ohio State is willing to invest a lot more into football. It's not necessarily their coaching, because obviously Michigan is running the NCAA as far as that goes. But Ohio State's going to put a lot more money into their football program than Michigan will.
Oh, I think it's incredible. I mean, this is where I'm getting to with this. You know, I think this leads us right into the paying players for likeness. This leads us right into what the NCAA is turning into. It's become an absolute, you know, excuse my French, it's a shit show. It's an absolute shit show. And I think
but I
that
really want my college
it's
football
sad.
Game.
Yeah, I mean, and look, this is what it comes down to. This is where people miss the boat when we start talking about NCAA money, recruiting. There is no anything in NCAA sports that there isn't students going to those places. People don't realize that. If Tyler doesn't go, one of the thousands of students that pays money to go to these universities to get a higher education, there is no Tom Izzo, there is no Urban Meyer, there is no Chase Young. Those people don't exist. Higher education, now you're mixing it with big-time college sports, it becomes tricky. We all know that. There's got to be a bottom line, and look, people are not going to like it. The NCAA, I hate to say it, they had it right. There's certain things you don't need to fix. There's certain things that are outstanding. You could say the amount of people saying negative things about the NCAA don't realize what perks these young athletes get in the NCAA. And I think that what we're getting to now is now we're talking about paying for likeness. Now we're talking about more money being thrown around. Now we're talking about less parity in NCAA sports is what we're talking about, where Ohio State gets even more money to throw and dish out to players because boosters and alumni and likeness being used because they're on the more mainstream than other programs are. More money for more, you know, for players, more of the big-time players wanting to go there, and it's going to get out of control if we go that route. So who is affected by that? I would even say Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, teams that are right there but are going to miss out on those other top kids because why would they want to go anywhere else? They get to go to the Ohio State University in football who will pay them for their likeness being used all the time. Just think about this, Tyler. The amount of autograph signings are going to be in Columbus. I mean, how are these kids going to go to class? I don't think that it matters.
I think there's going to be certain things the NCAA looks at, and what the NCAA needs to look at is how the likeness is being used. Because ultimately, let's be real, this started with video games.
Sure.
And
that needs to be the only thing that is used to be, in my opinion. That needs to pay them for that, and that's it. I mean, the amount of money they'll make off that's outstanding.
But you look at certain things, like I've got these jerseys hanging up on my wall right now. I have a number 12 without a name on the back of it. I've got a 33 without a name on the back of it. I've got an 18 without a name on the back of it. I got a 24 without a name on the back of it. Like, those types of things, those Le'Veon Bell jerseys, they sold like crazy. Let's be real. It was for Le'Veon Bell. Those Connor Cook jerseys sold like crazy. Cedric Durland, the team Cleaves, they sold like crazy. Their names aren't on the back of those jerseys. I think that's one thing that the NCAA is looking at. I think autograph signings, I think they're still going to prohibit that. You know, they've got to look at it as a case-by-case basis to try to make it as level of a playing field as possible. The only problem is the NCAA
sure.
is so reactionary. It's just spending off of what the state of California was doing.
Oh, I think they fell for it. I mean, let's be honest. Me and you thought it was going to be a disaster for California. For some reason, it's turned out to be an absolute disaster for the NCAA. And I think we're all shocked that they took, you know, everybody kind of followed suit, which was shocking. And it worries me. Look, we went to universities, so we're going to have a pride for those universities. Even in my short time in Western Michigan, when they win in sports, I'm excited. I went to class there. I met people. I talked to people that were baseball players there still. You know, we had a conversation about the gentleman who works for Fox Sports in the West Coast, how he thought it was going to be detrimental for them with Pac-12. They're not going to cover Pac-12 if this is the route they're taking in California. And that was really that was devastating to the NCAA, devastating for fans. And this is a lot of fun. I mean, this is a lot of people that go to these universities that pay to go and are rooting for their teams. I mean, it's just bigger than just athletes getting paid. I mean, I don't think people think of the bigger picture like me and you would. I mean, this is about people that go into these stadiums that were alumni or fans of these schools that really, really invest a lot of money and time. Look at Tyler. Every year, season tickets. Someone who went to that university, paid to go to that university, and is now paying to watch games. So I think that there's got to be a level playing field. That's my point. We've got to have some systematic stuff in place still. We've got to have rules where we say, okay, this is where the line, here's how much money you have for recruiting. Boom. If you break that rule, well, then you're spending money that where are you getting it from? That's my point. There's no reason why Michigan State should be spending less money in recruiting than Michigan. That's not fair to me. Well, okay, so Michigan has more money than Michigan State, so they get to be more successful. If that's what you're saying, then we're not talking about college sports anymore, guys. We're talking about who has more money. And I think this has been going on forever. I think we all know that. We're not oblivious here. But I think there's got to be a change on both ends. You want to compensate players? Go ahead. But you got to have a rule for these universities where here's why you run your program. You can't accept certain money in certain ways or you're gone. You can't use PEDs. If you use them, you're gone. And, hey, do everything right. Do things by the rules. You're going to get paid now. You know, I mean, it's just, am I missing something here? Or is it just, let's just keep going, slipping through the cracks, breaking the rules, and having this uneven structure? I mean, am I off base here, Tyler? I mean, help me out.
Here's the thing is that, as we thought the California thing was going to blow up in that state's face, and, you know, they're going to be like, all right, fine, UCLA, USC, you're gone. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to slide a couple of Big 12 teams over to Pac-12. We're going to slide, might slide Boise State in there. We're going to slide a couple of Big 10 teams over to the Big 12, and we're going to just smooth everything out like that. You know, like when you're making a sandwich and you're low on peanut butter, you're just trying to get it a little bit level. You know, so we thought they were just going to kick UCLA, USC out. And, you know, Pac-12 Network was not going to cover those games. And those institutions would just be stuck playing each other in the California League.
Sure.
That obviously did not happen. So the NCAA obviously has a plan in place to try to make this a little bit even. And now that this has taken place, I'm thinking, you know what, maybe it can be a little bit more even. Maybe now that the NCAA is looking at some of these things, the NCAA literally found a way to pay players without spending their own money. That's what they ultimately ended up doing. Because now everybody's going to jump in on this. And they'll just be like, okay, well, just the likeness thing to where players can get paid for being on a video game. No. Unfortunately, you won't get to play with Cassius Winston because it will be too late by then. But these players are going to get paid, you know, they're going to get paid for being in video games. I'm pretty sure you saw a little bit of money for that, even though, you know, they made you a different skin tone, shot with their own hand, and a 0% three-point rating.
I didn't see a dime out of that. I'm a little ticked off. You had to bring that up today. I'm already disappointed on this beatdown. Now I got to know that I'm not getting paid for my likeness.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
But that said, you know, they found a way to pay him. But I think this also empowers the NCAA to where, you know, they can tighten things up around the other edges. And
I think what's going to happen, Tyler,
it's going to be a little bit more even. And look, here's the thing, though, is, well, Ohio State's spending more money than Michigan. It's not that much more money than Michigan, because when you include coaching in that, Michigan's getting paid, or Jim Harbaugh's getting paid a lot more than Ryan Day right now. He's getting paid a lot more than Nick Saban even right now. And so when you look at that, they're still technically investing in extra, and the assistants are obviously getting paid more at Michigan. I'd say $7 to $8 million in those other funds that Ohio State's paying. That's where Michigan makes up for it, is in the coaching. That's how much faith they have in the coaching staff to develop these players to where they can compete with Ohio State. I think Ohio State and Michigan, as far as the money spent in football, ultimately evens out. And that's been my biggest question, and I think it was one of the questions that Jim Harbaugh just completely blew up on, is they were, as the reporter asked him, where the gap was between these two schools, and ultimately I'm still trying to figure it out.
Oh, I think that there's no question the gap is the players. I mean, I don't think that's not even in discussion. I mean, you look at the game plan that Michigan had offensively, they had Ohio State completely confused in the first half. I mean, Ohio State has never seen an attack that beat them up the middle with passing like that. It was a soft zone, and they knew Sean Wade was not playing. They completely attacked those areas, and they made Ohio State look foolish. Nobody blocked Chase Young as good as Michigan did in that first half. They had a great game plan for him. The ball got out quick. Everything they did made sense. And I don't think the coaching was poor at all on offense. I think it just comes down to strictly that's a better group of players. And then you can't make mistakes against really good players. And I think that was the other thing where Michigan had the fumble. You know, Patterson fumbles there towards the end zone. They jump off sides on a punt. You know, you have a late hit, first drive, third quarter, even though Ohio State was already driving. That made it even worse. You know, a couple penalties, couple turnovers, and then now you're playing against a team who has better talent, and you're making mistakes. Bad, bad combination. So I will not think, when I look at the designs of the play, I look at how Ohio State coaches, I think there's some issues, development on defense. I think that Ohio State tackles better, and I think they have for a long time. I think Ohio State blocks better. So, I mean, I think there is some things that are being coached better at Ohio State. But if you talk about just the phrase gap, what's the largest gap? It's the talent of the players. I mean, there's no – we would be fools to ever question that. These guys are faster, they're more athletic, and they're primetime athletes, and they're getting better and better because of the level of talent they're getting. So I think you're right, Tyler. If you really want to make a change, why don't you spend less on coaches and spend more money on going on the recruiting trail and getting kids that Ohio State would get that could flip over to you? And I think that would be the big change, maybe. I think we're years and years ahead or away from Michigan ever beating Ohio State. I mean, I think with what Urban Meyer did, you know, Urban Meyer's a dirty coach. We know that. Does that mean he's a bad coach? No, he's an unbelievable coach. He's a dirty coach. The way they do things with recruiting is not handled correctly. But does that mean there's an excuse? No, you got to go out there and beat him. Michigan State sure did. Michigan State went out there, punched him in the mouth. In the Big Ten championship game, Urban Meyer was the coach. I don't think Urban had his prime time kids yet. But, you know, hey, they went in 2015, monsoon comes, Michigan State out-physical Ohio State, and they beat them again with Urban's guys. So there's no excuse here. You have to take a head on. You know the monster that you're fighting that is Ohio State. You know what you're going against. Great, talented players and a program that will do whatever it takes to win. You got to come up with the best game plan possible. And you still have good players, and you got to find a way to get it done. And Jim Harbaugh's not done that. I guess that's my next point, Tyler. Let's jump into it. I'm sorry we're not getting into Michigan State yet. I do want to end on Michigan State, though, because I do think it's very important they made a bowl game. I thought there was a lot of things I was excited about for Michigan State. But let's end on this with Michigan Harbaugh. I mean, why would we not? I think at this point, Jim Harbaugh's done a really good job. I think at this point, tough decisions need to be made sometimes. And those tough decisions, he started by bringing in Josh Gattis. I think it was a great move to bring Josh Gattis in. It did not look good at first. It's turned out to be a great move. I think Josh Gattis has done a fantastic job. Jim Harbaugh needs to make that next tough move, and that's to fire Don Brown. It sucks. Don Brown's done a really good job. He's just not been able to perform in big games. His teams continue to give up a lot of points in big games. You got to make that move. You got to fire Don Brown. Tyler, I guess let's add both into it. Michigan State and Michigan, they got tough decisions to make this offseason. I think they both need both Mark D'Antonio and Jim Harbaugh. I think it's good for college football. I think it's great for this state. You got to keep those guys in. Yep. What's your thoughts on what needs to happen, though, moving forward for the coaching?
For Michigan, you know, I think kind of nail on the head. You know, Don Brown's got to go. There's other coaches out there. I know there's some teams that aren't necessarily top 25 every year type teams that, you know, have some pretty solid defensive coordinators out there. And, you know, well, maybe if they had the talent level that Michigan does, you know, you can close that gap a little bit. So I think that's the one. I think that's the big thing, because we've talked about it. You know, your goal is to start beating your rival. That's what Jim Harbaugh started to do. He started to beat Michigan State. Then the goal is Ohio State. And that's where Michigan starts. You know, we talked about that pyramid. You know, you've got to start in your own state. That's where you start building the blocks for success. And then it goes to Ohio State because that's the alpha dog. And then obviously you move on and you go towards more the national level. And right now, Jim Harbaugh's stuck on tier two, and they've given up 138 points over the last 2 years. Yeah, Don Brown's got to go. You know, and as far as Michigan State goes, look, you know, I liked what D'Antonio did. I understood, rather, the logic of what he did this past offseason. He moved everybody back to where they were successful. Dave Warner back at quarterback coach. Well, his resume includes Connor Cook and Kirk Cousins, the two most prolific passers in Michigan State history. And now it also has Brian Lewerke, who I think, you know, we talked about how, you know, he maybe heard the voices last year. Now when one bad thing happens, you know, it just turns into a snowball effect. And, you know, I think some of that can be placed on the quarterback coaching. And he moved Bowman back to offensive line. He moved Staten over to tight ends. He moved all these guys to where they have been successful in the past, with the exception of, like, Paul Haynes, who's, you know, just started getting into coaching, former NFL defensive back. He's moved all these guys back to where they were. And well, like you said, Brad Salem's done a good job calling the plays. You know, it's still a D'Antonio type system. The guys don't often, you know, stretch the field like they used to with Connor Cook's big arm. But they get these guys just past the sticks. And so I think that he's a – so it's still a D'Antonio time clock, run the clock type offense to try to help the defense. Type situation, but you know, we've talked about Trussell needs to go, or it needs to be reevaluated. We talked about how Bowman needs to go, Staten needs to go, Warner needs to go, Haynes needs to go, Treadwell needs to go. These, pretty much every offensive coach, with the exception of Brad Salem, needs to go at this point, because these guys are just simply aren't getting it done. The receivers aren't getting separation, and when they do, they're not catching the ball. The offensive line is really, really young, but even the experienced guys. Like, I'm really excited about the future of the offensive line. And, you know, we're going to talk about the bowl game. I'll just slide it into right now. But this bowl game is huge for Michigan State. You have a freshman running back in Elijah Collins. You have two receivers that are playing. Trey Mosley had 8 catches yesterday. Julian Barnett.
He was fantastic yesterday. Trey Mosley was so good yesterday. He's going to be a star.
And Julian Barnett has come on strong. And then you look at Burkhorst, who was also recruited to play baseball at Michigan State, second-string tight end without Dawson, you know, he's getting a lot more looks, and he's a freshman. And you have Nick Samick at center, and you have left guard J.D. Duplain. You have Devontae Dobbs, who was hurt, and now this is where it gets a little interesting, is whether or not you play him, because if you play him, you end up burning his red shirt. But you have all those young guys on offense, the running back, the entire left side of the line, two good wide receivers, and Jalen Naylor is going to be a sophomore next year, because even when he plays in the bowl game, he still would have only played 3 games, and so he can take advantage of the new redshirt rule. You're going to have a lot.
Yeah, they're very good coming up
next year, and so when those 13 extra practices are really going to come in handy for that youth. Ultimately, it may suck still next year, because Michigan State's schedule is probably the toughest schedule I've ever seen. And obviously,
yeah, it's a bear next year.
Yeah, we'll break that down in about 8 or 9 months. But
sure. I think with the bowl week, we'll really break some stuff down.
There will be some growing pains next year still, but I think these 13 practices are going to be huge for 2 years down the road.
Yeah, we don't need to talk much about, you know, I mean, we didn't even cover much of the Michigan game, to be quite honest. You know, Michigan, you know, Ohio State game, because it was so bad. We don't really want to break down the Michigan State-Maryland game. It wasn't very pretty either. But there's some great young talent, like Tyler said, coming up. You look at Trey Mosley. You look at Julian Barnett. Really good receivers that are young. You have Elijah Collins, who's only a freshman. You know, you have offensive linemen that are freshmen that have played meaningful minutes against really good opponents, which I think is just vital. I thought the Michigan game, the offensive line didn't look bad at times. I mean, they really played well. I thought the first half, they really moved the ball, and they gave Lewerke time. The quarterback position will be a huge question mark, but we'll talk a lot about this about next year, because look, this season is over in our eyes. I mean, it's over. Michigan, who knows? They'll play another throwaway bowl game. Yeah,
well,
basketball season's here.
For
I mean,
Michigan, it's been basketball season for Michigan State for about 3 or 4 weeks, but yeah.
Well, the whole thing has shifted, you know, in this state. I mean, now Michigan is completely on board with just basketball. I mean, they think things can change quickly in this thing, and with their surprising win of the Battle for Atlantis, I think the excitement behind Michigan basketball is good, and that makes the rivalry way better, because I think we all kind of thought that Juwan would struggle, in which I do think they'll have a few stretches here of bad basketball. I think that just happens. But yeah, as far as football, this next month is key for both programs. I mean, Michigan's got to find a way to get some young defensive players in. Speed has been an issue still for them. They're getting burned in deep passing play still. I mean, Josh Metellus, God bless his heart, he was a great player for Michigan. He did not have the speed multiple times in that game yesterday, and he got burned twice deep, I think maybe three times actually. Chris Olave ran right by him, and look, Chris Olave could run by a lot of guys, but Daxton Hill probably should have been the guy around that play. I mean, Daxton Hill is the one guy in that secondary that can run. You know, obviously the corners, LaVert Hill and Avery Thomas. LaVert was fantastic yesterday, by the way. Avery Thomas and Vincent Gray got burned a lot. I mean, they really did. They got beat up bad. Josh Metellus, Avery Thomas, Vincent Gray, they got roasted yesterday. And that was a speed problem. LaVert Hill, I'm just raving about him, but here's the problem with LaVert Hill. He's going to be gone. He will go to the NFL. So now you're really going to have to get some of these young corners up to speed. You got to get Vincent Gray better. You know, you're going to have to find another safety because Metellus will be gone. I know Brad Dawkins has played a lot, but you know, he's been banged up. They got other safeties that could step in. So, yeah, Tyler, for both schools, I mean, your young kids really got to get a lot of practice time and playing time in this bowl game. And I think a guy from Michigan State, I really want to see what he does, continues to, you know, do, I guess I should say, is Trey Mosley. Because, boy, Mark D'Antonio, boy, he just put it out there and said that's a money player. And I really want to see what he looks like in this next week. Of, you know, what is he doing in practice? What's he going to do in the bowl game? And for Michigan, I don't know what it is, Tyler, but that running back position, you know, it's they don't know who to play at Michigan. I don't know if you're noticing it. I mean, they don't know if Haskins is the guy. And remember we talked about it earlier on. What did I say? I said, I remember what did I say early on in the year? They're going to have a problem because they don't know who the running back will be. And I still think you got to run the ball. I mean, you still have to.
And it's kind of funny because after the first couple weeks, you know, Michigan and Michigan State both thought they found their running back of the future. You know, Michigan State's obviously content with Elijah Collins, and I think if the offensive line gains a little more experience, they'll be even more content with Elijah Collins, who's close. I don't know how many yards he finished with yesterday, but he may be the first 1,000-yard back Michigan State's had since Jeremy Langford in 2015. So, but we thought both schools were set. We thought Zach Charbonnet was the man of the future, and then all of a sudden you start seeing Haskins kind of creep into the picture, and you're really wondering, you know, what's going on? Like, are they going to end up losing games because they don't know who to play? Are they going to try to stick with the high hand? Because let me tell you something. Well, Haskins and Charbonnet are a lot better than L.J. Scott and Gerald Holmes ever were. When you're dealing with a situation like that and you're trying to play the high hand, you're just going to screw yourself over.
You know, I think they totally did not want to run the ball at all yesterday. They totally gave up on it, which the passing attack was outstanding. But I think what happens is you got to have some times where you got to go back to that Mark D'Antonio, not necessarily trust the ball, but we need to keep that offense off the field. And the big concern was the way they ran their offense yesterday. I love the speed and space. I really am on board with it. I really am. I think Josh Gattis, I'm just going to put it out there. You know, we've said it multiple times. I think Brad Salems has done a really good job. I think this offense is more diverse. I think they haven't been as successful as we would hope. But I really like Brad Salems now. I'm on board now. I think there's been moments as a young coordinator or first-year coordinator at State where maybe there's some times where, you know, in the red zone, there were some things they could have called a little differently, but I think that's learning. I think that's learning what players you have and what you got to do. I think Josh Gattis has totally came on board. I'm on board with Josh Gattis. I really am.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing. Both coordinators have really come along. I think we kind of knew where Salem was. A lot of the red zone issues early on were execution issues, were penalties and drops and, you know, missed throws, garbage like that. But so I think that was a little bit more
sure.
on the players. But I think that I've been, the more I watched it,